Today's November 26th. We're taping Leadership of Moshe, and we're talking about Moshe's successor. Who is Zoche to take over as Moshe? The thing about this is that every organization, every movement knows that when you try to replace a larger-than-life leader, of course his replacement isn't in his footsteps at the time. Right? The hope is that after 10, 50, 20 years, he'll grow into those footsteps. I think there's a problem facing Lubavitch today. There's a problem facing Breslov. We've only had one Rebbe. Seems to be doing okay all these years later. Right? Just parenthetically, I think Lubavitch's problem is that the first Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, said that there would be seven Lubavitch Rebbes, and in the lifetime of the seventh, Mashiach will present himself. He was the seventh, he didn't have any children, voila, that's it, no more Rebbes. Right? The problem is not so much what the seventh Rebbe said, but what the first Rebbe said. So here's this great Moshe. So what did Bnei Yisrael do the first time they thought that he was to be replaced? They wanted to replace him with an egel. Right? This now, familiar that on Yontif, when we lay from Maftir, we take out Parshas Pinchas, we did it by Yom HaBikurim, what's that doing there? Why Parshas Pinchas? What happens in Parshas Pinchas that made the Torah tell us about all the korbanos that we bring on the special days throughout the whole year? Right? Anyone try to think what was told right before that? Mamash, right before that, in Parshas Pinchas, is where Hashem tells Moshe, you're going to die. Okay? Just make sure that you tell the people not to do what they did before when they thought you died. Right? What made them make an ego when they thought Moshe died? And they said, well, he's gone too long. No human being could live that long up there. Where's he getting food? Where's he sleeping? What's he, right? So, okay, let's make something else to go between ourselves and God. Right? You hear? So, now that Moshe is really dying, Hashem tells them, listen, Moshe, remind them. They have korbanos, they have a mishkan. They have ways to reach me, if not through you. Get it? You working on that? It's not all over just because you're gone. Okay, I want you to publicly, in a very ceremonial act, I want you to take your successor and appoint him in front of them. There shall be no confusion about who's taking your place. Here's an interesting thing, is in Chazal, where they try to decide who is the Navi like Moshe, Yehoshua never makes the grade in anyone's list. How could that be? How could the actual successor of Moshe not be on any Chazal's list of Akim Navi Kamocha? Right? Plus, I would ask you this. If we would look now, take a look at that parasha in Pinchas. It's about Midbar. Turn with me now to that. So it's the end of Perek of Zion. Okay? The smichus of the parshius is that's another. The smichus of the parshius, these are all shmosis.
Could you say from the
tree? Torah, you should have all 5 minutes. Have any omitos there? Just put up in your computer. After the Benos Tzlofchad, Rashi says that Moshe thought that God was in a good mood about children taking over after their parents. That Moshe was hoping to get his sons involved with some leadership, the way Aaron's sons followed him, right? But it was not to be. Kehuna is passed on from father to son. But I'm sorry, Moshe, Torah is not. Right? Your son does not get to be the Navi just because you were. Right? So Hashem tells Moshe to go up to the mountain and see where you're not getting into. And then Moshe's response is, now let's read, it's Pasuk Tes Vav, Adver Moshe El Hashem Lemor. Adver Moshe El Hashem Lemor. Only four places in the Torah where it says, Adver Moshe El Hashem Lemor. Usually it's Adver Hashem El Moshe Lemor, which means, Moshe, what I'm telling you, tell this over to Bnei Yisrael. Right? So what does Adver Moshe El Hashem Lemor mean? Who is Hashem supposed to tell this over to? You hear what Rashi always does with these? Every time it says Vayidiber Moshe El Hashem Lemor, Rashi says that Moshe meant, God, I want a response right away. I know I can't assume that you come to me whenever I want, but in these four places, Rashi says Moshe wanted an immediate response. What did Hashem, what did Moshe say here? So here's a chiddush. You know what he said right here? V'eschanan El Hashem Ba'isahi Lemor, Ebra na, right? You know the parashas Veschanan and Sefer Devarim? It's here. This is where he said it. Okay? Alright. It's not here. It's in Devarim. But here's where he said it. Okay? If you want, look at Pasuk Yud-Beis, Gimel, and Yud-Dalet. It's very plausible. Right? It's very plausible. This is what Moshe said right here. And Hashem's answer is, okay, Alei al Haravim, because that's what appears in Devarim, almost a similar pasuk, right after Moshe said, Veschanan al Hashem. Okay? Good. So Moshe's response is, Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos l'chol basar ish al ha'ida asher yetzei lifnehem asher yavo lifnehem asher yotzi'em asher yivi'em v'lo sihi adas Hashem katzon asher imnehem roeh. Right? So Moshe tells God to replace me properly. The sign of true leadership is that you don't want, when you're not there, people to say, oh, look where we are without him. We have no leaders. We have no one to take over. We have, look how much we miss him. No. You never want them to say that. Right? You ever hear that a Rebbe is never jealous that his student is greater than he is? Who did we learn that from? Do you remember? That's how we learn that a father is never jealous that a son is greater. It's the same limud. It's the same Gemara in Sanhedrin, the fourth parak. That's how we learn that a father is never jealous of his son. I'm not building Beis Mikdash. My son is. That's perfectly okay with me. Because whatever my son accomplishes is my cover. Who do we learn that a teacher is never jealous that his Talmud is greater? Remember someone in Tanakh asked, I guess his teacher, I want to be twice as great as you? Elisha and Eliyahu. The same Gemara by saying that whatever Eliyahu did, Elisha did twice, understands that Elisha was trying to be twice as great as Eliyahu, and Eliyahu wholeheartedly went along with it. As long as you see me go up to the Shemayim, then that's a sign that God's okay with that. Right? So the sign of a true Rebbe is that I want there to be no pause in the leadership. Right? Question is, Chevra, what is Moshe? We refer to Moshe as Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? You ever see the gematria of Moshe Rabbeinu? You know what it is? It's cute that we call Moshe Rabbeinu. Do we call anyone else that? Right? Do you know that Israel avoids that as a street name? Only one place in Israel with a street name is Moshe Rabbeinu. And it happens to be right down the block from where my son lives. His name's Moshe. It's in Beit Shemesh. There's no street. I don't know why. They named it like when it gets a convention. And they named the street before Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's, all right, but it seems to be a name avoided. There's only one rabbi in the whole Talmud Bavli and Yerushalmi named Moshe. It's an avoided name. There's no Rishon. The next Rishon we know for after the Talmud is the Rabbi. There's no Gaon Moshe. There's no one in the Gemara. All right, anyway. So, what is it that Moshe is asking that God set up for this person to do? Look inside. Right? What do you think Moshe would say, God, please? Need someone who's going to make sure that they keep the Torah, and he's going to make sure that they follow your statutes. What is Moshe? Look at it. Look inside. Be bedafke. What's inside of it? They should be yotziyim, be yivyeim. Takes them out, brings them in. Okay, listen. You should respond to me. Is that listen? What is the task of this next leader? Go into Eretz Yisrael and conquer the land. They don't need a Talmud Chacham now. They need a military leader. Right? No one considers reading Sefer Yehoshua and thinking that this is a Rosh Yeshiva, that this is a Ben Torah, that this is someone who's teaching the Torah. Right? You would read over Sefer Yehoshua and look at the life of Yehoshua. The very first time we're introduced to him is when we're fighting Amalek in chapter 17 of Sefer Shmos, right? And Yehoshua weakens in this and fights against Amalek, right? I turn now to Chazal. You're familiar with the coffee table book called Ishei HaTanakh? It's now this big English book, Encyclopedia of Biblical Personalities. But it was originally a small little Hebrew book called Ishei HaTanakh, an alphabetical listing of main personalities in Tanakh. And you get up to Yehoshua, and you read, there's a segment on Yehoshua and Torah. And there's a Gemara in Erevin that says, why was Yehoshua Zoche to replace Moshe? Did you hear the answer to that question in the Gemara? Yes! He would arrange the benches and put back the sfarim. After people learned. What? Who gets to take over and be the Rosh Yeshiva after the Vilna Gaon? Shouldn't it be the one who can best teach the students? Right? But that's not the leader we needed now. It was the humility of setting up the base marriage. Huh? And then, so, you have to look further in that segment. Oh, but why he lost what happened? What made him lose that framework? That you only know him as a military leader and not as a Torah personality. So here, he points you to another Gemara. This Gemara is less famous. I doubt if you know this Gemara. The Sefer Tzemura. You ever learned Tzemura? The laws of exchanging Kedusha from one carbon to another. And on Daftes Zion in the Sefer Tzemura, the Gemara says that right after Moshe died, God went to Yehoshua and said, Yehoshua, in the mourning of your Rebbe, have you forgotten anything? And Yehoshua said, no, I have everything under control. Everything Moshe taught me, I know. And because he acted with insolence and acted with gaiva, remember, one version says 300, one version says 400 sekos, doubts came, crept into the community that Yehoshua wasn't able to answer, and he lost his mantra of Torah, and now you're just a military leader. You know, what do you see between the lines of these midrashim? Right? And it's really dripping all over the pages of Shas. The greatest mind of his generation was Rebbe Meir. And we never paskin like him. Who's greater than Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai? He's never, the Pesach is never like Rebbe Shimon when he argues with someone else in the mission. You hear the point? Rebbe Eliezer was a much greater mind than Rebbe Yehoshua. We paskin like Rebbe Yehoshua. Not the greatest mind. The Marshal, the Rav Mo couldn't stand in the Marshal's shadow. But we always passed him like the Rav Mo. Right? Now Allah is trying to tell us something here. It's not the brilliant mind that gets the psak. And what made Yehoshua to take over Moshe was not that Yehoshua was his best Talmud in Torah, so to say. Okay, I get it. That's not what we need right now. They're about to go into the land. They're not setting up Bate Midrashos. They're setting up a military situation for 14 years. Right? Okay, be that as it may, you see that that's what Moshe says. Take a look. Asher yitzei lifnehem, v'asher yavo lifnehem, v'asher yotzeim, v'asher yiviyem. That's all Moshe says about them. If you want, and if you have a full Tanakh, which you should have here, if you just or just listen to what Bnei Israel tell David in Shmuel Bet Perek Hey, when they unanimously appoint him as king over all of Israel. Until now, Shaul was king, and then Shaul's son Ishbosheth was king for 2 years. After Ishbosheth was assassinated, all of Bnei Israel come to David and say, "Listen to the following." Listen carefully now. Even when we were king, you were the one who was even when Shaul was king, you were the one who was Hamotzi v'Hamevi, which is exactly the lashon that Moshe uses here. You hear it? Asher yotzeim v'asher yiviyem. Asher yetzei lifnehem v'asher yavo lifnehem. The leader has to be visible. He's got to be running around like Moshe in Parshas Yisro. Right? Okay? And the only excuse for you not to do so is because you want to spare the time of Bnei Israel. You've got to be out there. Okay? Everybody clear with that? So Hashem tells Moshe, okay, Moshe, that's what you're looking for? Yehoshua is your man. And he tells him to take Yehoshua. Okay? Teach him the Mishpat Ha'urim. Okay? Very famously, Hashem tells Moshe to put your hand, singular, on Yehoshua's head. Okay? You see Pasuk Yudches? V'samachta es yodcho alav. It's very clear. One hand. Okay? It's probably a, you know, you're standing with one hand from a distance. Like that. Holding the other hand on the side. Okay? Because if you want to put both hands on the head, it's probably something close. Right? So, Moshe, when he does give Yehoshua the smicha, look at the end, Pasuk of Gimel, Vayismoch es yodav alav. Okay, Perek of Zion, Pasuk of Gimel, and that's the Pasuk right before the list of the Kabbalists. Right? So Moshe demonstrates the magnanimity of like the Eliyahu kind of leadership, who's willing to say, this man is going to be greater than I am. Okay, that's how the Gemara understands. If I may take a slight tangent, I'm not sure, well, I'm sure that's what the Gemara thinks it means, but I'm not sure that when Elisha said, I want to be pi shnayim, see these words? I want to be pi shnayim of whatever you are, that he really meant I want to be twice as great as you. Right? It's too much of a chutzpah and I can't accept it. The Gemara says so. Gemara is very clear that because Gemara keeps trying to show how whatever that Eliyahu revived one person, Elisha revived two people. Eliyahu parted the Yarden once, Elisha parted the Yarden twice. And it keeps going a list of things that Eliyahu did that was great and miraculous that Elisha did twice as often or twice as much. I have no doubt that's what the Gemara expects. It's just, I can see the way Moshe is magnanimously doing more for the next guy than Hashem expects him to. You with me? Right? But I don't see that that's what this word means. Anybody, can you identify other places in Tanakh where this word, this phrase appears? One is very, very common. No, I mean where it means dog. When a man has two sons, right? So he has this Bechor and he has this Pashut, right? And he has $3 million, right? You get it? So he has to give the Bechor $2 million and he has to give the Pashut $1 million. See it? Bechor always gets twice as much as everybody else. You with me? In that particular story, there are only two of them. There's the son of the one he loves and the son of the one he hates. We're talking about the beginning of Kesetzim, right? The phrase Pishnayim appears by Eliyahu and Elisha. It appears here by Nachaloth. And the only other time in the whole Tanakh that the phrase appears is in a devastating prophecy in Sefer Zechariah, which I hope is a prophecy of the Holocaust. Because it says that in a particular area, 2/3 of the Jews there shall perish, and the remaining 1/3 shall help to bring about the Geulah. Right? Okay, I hope that that's about the Holocaust. But wait a second. It says, Pi Shnayim of the Jews in that area shall perish. This is Mamash Pashut, exactly like this. And it says, V'hashlishi, and the remaining 1/3 shall survive. Another 9 million Jews in Europe at the beginning of the war, and the remaining 1/3 went on to build up what we have now. Okay. So I would like to tie in that Pishnayim actually means 2/3. That when it says that the Bechor gets Pishnayim, right, that number is used because there were only two of them. And that when you talk about two sons, the one getting 2 million is 2/3. If there were three sons, then the one gets pi shalosh. Don't you get it? Okay, so So Pishnayim means that when Elisha said to his Rebbe, I want to be Pishnayim of what you are, he wasn't so chatzuf to say, I want to be twice as great as you. He was chatzuf to say, I want to be 2/3 as great as you. Okay? All right, Moshe, when we say Moshe was anav ma'od, we call anav mikol adam, that does not mean you're not aware of your own capabilities. Moshe knew he had capabilities of Nebuah far greater than his brother and sister. That's why he left his wife. Right? They did not know that about him. Why? Because he was an Anav. And he didn't tell them what he knew his capabilities were. An Anav does not mean that you are not aware of your own. It could be, I'm a nobody. I'm going to say yes, because in the face of how close you are to God, you're a nobody. But compared to other people, you have to be oblivious if you don't recognize Moshe and how much greater you are than anyone else, including your brother and sister. Right? Get it? So, you can be, they say that when Moshe Feinstein was told he needs a pacemaker, he at first objected. Why? Because he said, you know, I feel we're so close to he told this to an inner circle, he didn't tell this to the doctor, he told it to the piercing book. And he said that, I feel that we're close to a time of the resumption of the Sanhedrin. If the Sanhedrin resumes, there's going to be 71 Jews around the world being asked to sit on that body. And it seems to me they'll ask me to be one of those 71. Possibly they'll ask me to be the head of such a Sanhedrin. But it seems to me they will ask me to be the head of that, on that Sanhedrin. So he understood that he is up there. Yeah. That's not a breach of humility. The breach of humility would be for him to give radio addresses and start talking about it and then spread it to others. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Alright, so Moshe is aware of what he is. And what tends to happen to such gifted people is that their replacement... My vice president, he's not even... Right? So I don't mean that to be in any particular... situation particular... specifically, So Moshe's response to replacing himself fits Yahushua. Okay? Notice the Moshe doesn't say something like, Ribono Shalom, I'm going to die, okay. But Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Asar Ish Al Ha'ida Asher Yilamdei Torah Zun Asher, you know, keep them in observance, who will be able to rule with them with a strict offhand to keep the Torah. Doesn't mention anything about Torah. What about this? What's that about? See this terminology? Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar. One second. It appears only one other time in the Torah. It appears after the Korach revolt, Moshe talks up to God about Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar. You ever hear it? What do you do with this? Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar. It's such an unusual terminology, right? So Rashi says that Moshe's main objective here in talking to God about his replacement is that he feels confident, I think the Torah will remain. I think the Torah will be kept. I think they'll stay in this land and they'll remain here as long as God decrees fine. They'll be fine. What I am worried about most, and this is just funny, is that my people are so stubborn. And they're so different, and there's so many of them, and each one has their own position and their own. I say you gotta love the Jews because you know there's something about us that's. But they're just, we're so contentious, and we're so. I don't know. Sometimes you know I have a basement for years, and sometimes you know if someone is, let's say they've been studying for a year and a half, and then she comes and says, I really think that I'm ready to go to the mikveh. And I explain, no, I think I'll tell you why you need another month or two, and maybe before Shavuos you go. And then they just, okay, Rabbi, that's okay. And they say, well, this person certainly is Jewish, because this person was really Jewish, ready to be Jewish. They fight back, maybe I'm not ready. And I say, oh, now you're Jewish. No, a Jew is just, it's just so much what we are. Right? We're, that's what we are, we're strugglers. Right? We're Israel means, right? We're contentious. So according to Rashi, this Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar is to have someone deal with the fact that there's so many, you know the famous joke, two Jews, three opinions. It's exactly how Rashi presents it. Because every one of them has his own opinion, every one of them is his own Ruach, and every one of them is his own Basar. So please, get someone whose main gift is to deal with that. And you see the way Yahushua talks to them, especially at the end of the Sefer. He was good at this. Which is why, you know, there's rebellion all over Shmos and Bamidbar against Moshe. But nothing against Yahushua. Not as much time, and he was quite successful. You know. Nothing breeds contention more than being hungry and thirsty in the desert and being told things you don't like to hear, but okay. All right, so that's what I contend to you is why Yahushua is out of contention for fulfilling, I'm going to get a Navi like you. Okay, so let's see the guys who do win out. They are Shmuel, Yirmiyahu, Eliyahu, and Ezra. Although I'll tell you, Eliyahu is like a dark horse here. He's not doesn't appear in everybody's list, and these appear in different places. The first time I wrote him on the board, I told you what he's up. Shmuel has two, unlike the others, has two very significant biblical sources. Look at, let me read to you Yirmiyahu chapter 15. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu that the end is upon us, and he says, "Remember Hashem Eli in Ya'amod Moshe Ushmuel Lefanai Ein Nafshi Al Ha'omazeh Shalach Me'alai Panai Yitzeh." Even if Moshe and Shmuel would stand before me right now, I would not listen. Okay? Right? This is on page 22 in your Proverbs, if you have it to you. Can you see it? Even if Moshe and Shmuel would stand up, I wouldn't listen to you. I'm certainly not going to listen to you. Right? And perhaps a more famous pasuk, until the Perek Tzadikus, which is also on page 22 in this Proverbs, bottom of the page. Says Moshe Aharon the Kohanov, Shmuel the Korei Shemo, Korei Malashem the Hu Yaadim. It's amazing. Here, Shmuel not only balances out Moshe, here he balances out Moshe and Aharon together. See, let's talk about different things that Moshe did for Bnei Yisrael. He was certainly their redeemer first. Right? That redemption already starts in Shmos Perek Beis, where he hits the Egyptian and saves a Jewish life. Right? He's also the lawgiver. He's also a military leader, right? Although he does send Yahushua and Pinchas and others to fight, right? But he leads them in battle. Okay? Is he also a political leader? I think so. You know, he deals with Sichon, gives messages to Edom and Moab. Right? What about a spiritual leader? And maybe a religious leader. What's the difference between those two? We said that Aaron was the spiritual leader. That's someone who deals with pomp and ceremony and outfits and and Ketores, and you know, getting people to feel emotional about what they're doing, right? It's a spiritual leader. A religious leader is someone that teaches you what to eat on Pesach. You know, you gotta eat matzah, you eat tomorrow, this is tefillin, this is tzitzis, right? It's good if your religious activity makes you feel spiritual. But let's not forget, the main thing is what you do, your actions. Hopefully it'll shape your character, hopefully it'll make you feel spiritual. You get it? So it could be that because of the way Moshe speaks at the burning bush, Hashem tells him, okay, Moshe, all right, Aaron is going to help you. Go ahead, you'll have that. Right? Aaron may have been somewhat of the political leader also, because he's the one who talks to Pharaoh. You get it? He's the politician who has to deal with the people in Pharaoh. Right? Aaron is the spiritual leader. Okay? The military leader is Yahushua, and Pinchas gives up. The lawgiver is unequivocally Moshe. The redeemer is unequivocally Moshe. Okay? The religious leader is unequivocally Moshe. Yes, may have Canaan and others, but then. Okay? Do you know that Shmuel was all of these? He was no Kohen Gadol. He was killed by the Philistines. Right? He's got to start from scratch. There's no Aron. There's no working Mishkan, so to say, right? It's been sacked and destroyed. Shiloh, right? Shmuel was a leader through the most tumultuous of times. It's the sacking of Shiloh is like the destruction of the base of Mikdash. Right? In terms of the religious loss, right? No one considers the tragedy that way because of Shmuel, because he made sure that we didn't lose everything as a result. Right? Okay. He leads us in battle against the Philistines. He's the lawgiver. He teaches them Mishpat HaMelech, and he teaches them he's the political leader until the king comes. He appoints the king. Right? He's the spiritual leader and the religious leader because there is no Kohen Gadol. He's a Levi, but he doesn't become the Kohen Gadol, of course, but he's serving whatever all these things were. And that's why Moshe Aharon Mechonav Shmuel Karishma. Yamod Moshe Shmuel. One should always appreciate the outsized role that Shmuel HaNavi plays in Jewish history. After Moshe, he is our greatest Navi. Okay? There's no tenet of faith that says that. Of course, I'm just using the evidence. Okay? Do you remember one of the first classes of the year we talked about the foreshadowing of the early stories of Moshe? That he puts his life on the line to save the Hebrew being beaten, so we see that Moshe is going to succeed significantly in that effort. He's going to stand up for his people, even if the one he has to stand up to is God! Like at the Egel or at the Meribah, right? Okay. Then the middle story involves two Hebrews fighting. Moshe gets less than success in this story. Right? He behaves in that story somewhat differently than one might have felt that maybe Aaron might behave. Right? Do you agree? Have you heard of Medrash Novos to Rabbi Nosson about what Aaron would do when two people are fighting? Instead, be able to rush Shalom to Kariach. Not Moshe's way to you know, flim and flam and wonder what are you fighting about. Moshe sees an Egyptian beating Hebrew, he just rushes in and a little more impulsive. Sometimes impetuous, like when he breaks the luchos according to Rabbah. Right? But he's not so successful in that middle story, and that's indicative of how he deals klapei pnim. He's not always so successful in dealing with the people. So here is the connection. On page 19, you have the same problem as Shmuel. And this is why, it's no secret, the Haftorah of Korach is from Shmuel. You see some lines that you might be familiar with on the bottom of page 19? Eshor milokachti, chamor milokachti. I'd be cute to ask for the Bible quiz contest. Who said these words? You can't tell because they're mamash the same by Moshe as they are by Shmuel. I didn't even ask for travel expenses. Did I ever ask for anything from these people? What do they have on me? Right? Have any corruption? In other words, what Shmuel shares with Moshe is, and Shmuel maybe even more so, is the more he puts into his people, the more he's rejected. I close today because I want to continue with Shmuel a little bit next time. But I close today with a real dark horse character. Not so much because Chazal think he's like Moshe. He's not. But that there is a Maimer Chazal is put down the Alka Shimoni. I think the original place it appears maybe there. But it's in the Alka Shimoni, where on Yaakov's deathbed in Parshas Vayechi, he's calling over all his sons, he's blessing them, he tells which one is going to do this, which one. Most of them are fulfilled in Sefer Yehoshua. And he has an outsized blessing for Dan. It's longer than Gad, Naphtali, and Asher. It's longer than Yisachar and Zvulun. It's too long. The only long ones are really Binyamin, Yosef, and Yehuda. Right? Because Reuben, Shimon, and Levi get veritably cursed. Right? So Don is outsized. So the Midrash says, especially another thing, is right after Don's bracha, Yaakov says, "Yeshua stuck in his Yashem." And then he continues blessing the others. Why? Did you even notice that? If you're pining for God's salvation, say it after all brothers. Not in the middle. Why? It's an aliyah end. And he went lame by a chi. It ends in aliyah. Right? It's very strange. Why stop right there in the middle and say, "I seek your salvation, O Lord"? So here's the dark horse. The Midrash says that Yaakov saw a vision of a future leader who he had the potential to be Mashiach. But he was so personally flawed, his characteristics were so flawed, and that's why God made sure he would be a Nozir. Those characteristic flaws, while drinking wine, he'd be in real trouble. So what qualifies him to be Mashiach is he had that streak of Shmuel. Is that although he's rejected at every turn by his people, he's turned in by his people, he never fights with anyone but himself. Right? If he's going to slay 1,000 Philistines, he does it by himself. But his love for his people is so profound. The people of Yehuda trap him and grab him, and they say, "We're going to turn you into the Philistines. You're a troublemaker. Just leave them alone. We live right next to them." They think, there's a big chilul Hashem. What you're doing with them, right? So he says, "I only did to them what they did to me first." But anyway, he says, "Just promise me you're not going to kill me. Just tie me up and deliver me to them." You know, I could forgive Shimshon looking up at Hashem and say, "Hashem, what do these people want from me? I'm trying to help them." That's the Shmuel talks that way, and Moshe and Parshas Korach talks that way. We're talking, of course, about Shimshon. And that's his potential, is that no matter how much his people reject him, his service to them and his love for them and his fight for them never ceases. It continues unabated, even as they reject him. So the rejection of Shmuel, we'll try to figure out what exactly is the rejection when they call him over to get them again. Right? What ways there were the objection of Shmuel? And why didn't they ask him to be their king? Do they tell him? Because he did everything a king could possibly be doing. I would say, in a Benitanah, if someone asks you an objective question, who is our most well-rounded leader in the entire Tanakh? If you don't answer Shmuel, it means that you haven't looked. So this man is so obvious that he's the man to be king. But they reject him. So next class we're going to do that, and then we'll come back to help us understand something about Moshe, because he's the Haftar of Parshas Korach. Okay, we're going to continue with that. Make sure you bring this Choveret next time, alright? You'll have it? You'll have it, right? Okay, bring the Choveret. We're going to be doing some talking about Shmuel, but especially top of page 19. Okay, everybody, have a great day today.